Hi, working mom. Are you feeling like your cluttered home doesn't reflect who you are and you're ready to get it tidied up for good, even if you only have 10 minutes a day to spend on organizing? If your answer is yes, then go ahead and sign up for a free home clutter audit. In this free 15-minute call, I'm going to check into where you're wasting your time on organizing, and we're going to fix that with an organizing roadmap created just for you and your house. If you are a busy working mom looking to minimize the time you spend on organizing and maximize the time you spend on whatever you want to be doing, then the free home clutter audit is for you. Sign up now at fireflybridge.com/schedule. Welcome to Order Meets Style. I'm Zee Seaman, a professional home organizer. This is episode one, and I think the best place to start this episode on the five steps to organize your home sustainably is to tell you a story about how I did this for myself. I've been a professional organizer for almost 7 years now, meaning that I've owned my organizing business for 7 years. But of course, I've been organizing for much longer than that, and mostly because I struggled with staying organized, especially once I had my kids. I was in a book club with a group of wonderful women, and the plan was for us to alternate hosting the meetings at each of our houses. These women were friendly, welcoming, just genuinely very nice people, and we had a great time getting together each month, both to talk about the book that sometimes we read, sometimes we didn't read, but also just to socialize and chat and have dinner together. But the first time that it was my turn to host at my house, I just felt so embarrassed by the clutter in my home that I asked if we could meet at a restaurant instead. Honestly, it wasn't just embarrassment. I was ashamed and disappointed in myself that I couldn't get my house organized and tidied up. I mean, I'm an intelligent person. I knew what it meant to be organized because I had worked in, you know, research and development as a research engineer. And I was organized in my work, but I couldn't get it done at home. I would get inspired one day after reading a Martha Stewart magazine article, and I'd tidy up my laundry room. But within days, it was back to being cluttered and messy again. So I thought, well, I'm just not an organized person. Have you ever thought like that? Like, you're just not an organized person, and there are people who are? Like, clearly, other people were able to keep their homes organized and they make it look easy. So they must be organized people and I'm just not. And so maybe I'll never really be organized. I thought that for years until shortly after I joined this book club. And I diverted that meeting that I was supposed to have at my house. I had everyone go to the restaurant. But after that happened, I started to ask myself why I couldn't seem to get and stay organized. See, I really wanted to welcome those women into my home as they welcomed me into theirs. I wasn't afraid of them judging me by the state of my home. I was doing that myself. But I wanted them to feel comfortable in my home. And the way that it was cluttered, I knew that they wouldn't be. So I dove into books, articles, the internet, and I did what the experts were telling me to do at the time. I started small. I picked a small area like my laundry room or one drawer of my daughter's clothes. I sorted and I decluttered and I put stuff back in a pretty way, but I just couldn't keep it organized. Just like my laundry room became cluttered and messy again, every other space I tried to declutter and tidy up became messy again within a week or two. And it continued like this for months on end. And then we moved into this house, the house where we are now. And as the movers were bringing boxes in, I watched them carry in three small-ish boxes. And these boxes had tape that was so old that the tape had turned yellow. And I recognized the logo on these boxes from the very first moving company we had used to move about 10 years before, which meant that we hadn't opened those boxes for 10 years. I didn't even remember what was in them. So when I finally got around to opening those boxes, I saw that there were textbooks, and a bunch of awards and plaques and things from my job in R&D, and some baby memorabilia that I didn't know what to do with, and so it just stayed in that box for years and years and years. At that point, knowing that we would be living in this house for a long time, as far as we could tell, I was determined to actually unpack every single box and to put things away in an organized way that made sense to me and so that it would stay organized. And that's how I developed my 5-step method to organize homes. Initially, I didn't think about organizing sustainably. I just wanted to get organized, but I focused on that a bit later. Let me get through the 5 steps so you can see what they are and how I weave sustainability into organizing. The 5 steps make up the word clear. It's an easy way to remember each step, as in clear your clutter or clear your home. So clear stands for clarify, limit, edit, assign homes, and review. So step 1 is clarify. This is a step where you clarify your vision for how you want to feel and function in your home. This was the big aha for me. Like, none of the books or articles I had read really talked about this very much, but I find that it makes all the difference. Once you clarify your vision for your home, you understand, you have a mental picture of how you see yourself and your family living in your home. Actually, it's not a mental picture. Think of it as a mental movie. You see clips of your kids doing homework, or of you cooking dinner, of having book club meetings or Super Bowl parties or kids play dates, or just having your neighbor stop by for coffee in the middle of the afternoon. When these little movie clips play in your mind, you also see the surroundings, right? You see your kitchen or the living room. And all of these little mental movies are part of the clarify step, where you create this vision and it guides how you organize. So for me, once I did this, I could visualize how I wanted book club night to look and feel like. And so this step makes the decisions that you need to make about what to keep and what to let go, it makes those decisions so much easier. Okay, step 2 is limit. This is the step where you define the limits of where you'll keep your stuff. So all of my kitchen pots and pans must fit into only these 2 drawers. That's the limit I'm placing on the space for pots and pans, for example. Step 3 is edit. This is normally what you think of when you hear home organizing. It's when you sort through your things and you choose what you're keeping and what you're letting go of. This step is where having worked on your vision in the clarify step really pays off. It becomes so easy to choose what you want to keep if it fits within your vision and what to let go of if it doesn't. Step 4 is assign homes. In this step, you define and pick out where and how you'll contain your things and put them away. So if you need drawer dividers, boxes, baskets, or bins, this is where you'll choose them. And step 5 is review. The goal of this step is to come up with how you will keep your home organized in just about 10 minutes a day. What are the few key things you need to do each day to stay organized? Sometimes it's the same thing each day, like run the dishwasher if you have a big family and you fill the dishwasher daily. But sometimes it might be, putting away the laundry one day and the next day checking that the shoes are all in their cubbies in the entryway, things like that. You define all these little tasks. But because you've already organized in the way that fits your vision and how you want to live and function in your home, the tasks are easy and basic, so they only take about 10 minutes each day. And as we work through each step of the CLEAR framework, we also talk about your habits and your family's habits around consumption, meaning how you buy and use things. We also pay attention to what you buy and how to prevent unwanted or unneeded things from coming into your home. This is how sustainability really happens. When you first think of sustainability in organizing, you might think of recycling or donating your stuff that you've decluttered. And yes, that's part of it. You might also think of sustainability in buying organizing boxes and baskets that are made of sustainable or recycled materials. And that's also a part of being sustainable while you organize. But sustainability really starts with consuming intentionally. So buying and using what you need, reducing your waste, and trying to live as naturally as you can in your home. And I weave all of that into the CLEAR framework in my online program that's called Streamline and Simplify, where I guide you in doing this in your home yourself. But with this podcast, Order Meets Style, my goal is to bring you all of these elements, including how to make it look stylish in your home. Get it? Order Meets Style. See what I did there? But I'll bring on some experts to give you more guidance. I'll tell you how I do it in my home too. My other goal for you with this podcast is to show you what other people just like you have organized, or the organizing challenges they're going through right now. It's a segment that I call An Organizing Story, and it's meant to show you how you're not alone. We're not alone with our organizing challenges, and we can learn from people who are going through the same things as us. Not every organizing story has an immediate solution. They may be a work in progress. I might offer ideas and suggestions, but I think they'll inspire you. And so let me recap the five-step process to organizing your home sustainably. I call it the CLEAR framework, which stands for clarify, limit, edit, assign homes, and review. And sustainability is woven into every step of the CLEAR framework by keeping in mind how and what you purchase and consume, and how to easily prevent unneeded or unwanted stuff from getting stuck in your house. And so now let's move on to an organizing story.
All right.
My guest today is Shireen Botha. In 2020, Shireen found herself in a challenging position that pretty much changed the course of her life. So I asked her to come on today to share her story with us, because her challenge is one that so many people share. So welcome to Order Meets Style, Shireen. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, sure. Thank you for the invite. I appreciate it.
So let's start with before the pandemic. Where were you living and working then?
All right. So if you know anything about South Africa, I was living in Johannesburg for 13 years of my life, where I was a cabin controller on an aircraft for an aviation company. I had also been doing a side hustle for bookkeeping for a couple of businesses in South Africa. It was just a side thing.
Okay.
Loved my job. Thoroughly did. But things happen, and I'm sure you realize aviation was kicked really hard during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I ended up losing my job there, and they ended up closing their doors. So,
wow.
Yeah.
And so that was around the end of 2020 when that happened. So what did you do?
Right. So I think everybody locked down on the 18th of March, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And it took a day where I asked them to take me off my flights for the 17th, because I wanted to go and spend however long. They initially said it was only 14 days, but looking back, we were stuck at home for about a month and a half. I just wanted to move myself and Rolo to a more, a better environment, with closer to family was the main thing, because I was living in a tiny little apartment and I wasn't sure if we could stand in that apartment for such a long period of not being able to go out.
Because at the time it was unclear, right?
Yes,
unclear how long this was going to be happening. And Rolo is your dog. To
clarify. Yes, sorry. Yes. Rolo is my four-legged fur child.
Wonderful.
We do everything
yes.
together. And so we jumped in the car and we packed a suitcase and we drove down to the coast of KwaZulu-Natal, where my mom and dad and my sister lived. And I moved into what we're sitting in right now is my childhood bedroom. And we moved in here and that's where I stayed until we started flying again. And then I went back to Johannesburg.
So then you moved back to Johannesburg. But after some time, it was clear that the airline was in trouble. They were going to close the doors. They began laying off people. And so you came back to your hometown. But you moved into your own place.
Yes.
And then pretty soon after that, your parents started having some health issues, right?
100%. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you made the decision to move back home to live with them?
Yeah. So we had to do some chess movements because my sister couldn't. She was living in the house already. She has been living in this house for years now with my mom and dad. The health issues that was going on between my mom and my dad, it was clear that we needed to make some changes. And so we made some important decisions. So I joined forces and moved in with my parents to assist them and my sister with what was going on in the house, as you know, as much as I can.
And how did you feel about moving back in? Were there things that you, what did you look forward to, and what were you maybe dreading a little bit about moving back in?
Well, bottom line is I have been living by myself for, you know, 13, no, even longer than that. You know, I matriculated, right, finished school in 2003. And I think it was like almost in 2000 and, you know, I can't remember, but six, I was traveling overseas in America, doing au pair work, doing camp counseling, you name it. I was doing it. And then when I came back from my travels, I went straight into the aviation industry. And so I have been living in Johannesburg in the aviation business for roughly about 13 years of my life. And living alone in your own space all that time, you kind of become selfish and you're not used to sharing your space. Because I'm not married. I've never been married. So you kind of become selfish in your space and in your time. And so moving back in with your parents as well as your sister, and have four adults under the same roof, and especially of one adult that's been living alone for such a long time,
it's a challenge.
It's quite stressful. Yes. Yeah.
And you and I have talked about this a little bit. Being a child living with your parents is such a different experience than being an adult living with your parents. And even though this is your childhood home, did it feel like home to you, or did it feel like you were a visitor?
I haven't. I've truly felt like a visitor. This hasn't been my space. Just sad to say.
Difficult. Yeah.
But it's just not.
I think that's how a lot of people feel. So tell us a little bit about your kitchen challenges. You told me earlier that you love to cook and bake, but what's happening in your kitchen?
Right. Okay. So listen, I've been a cabin attendant, just being Shireen. You know, I'm a very organized, naturally a very organized person. I like my space always to be clean. And so even when I moved down to the coast and I was living in my own little house an hour away from my parents when I first moved down here, I loved cooking. I still do love. I've loved cooking for years. And so I always make sure my kitchen is looking beautiful and welcoming so that I can cook in. And so I've always been like that. Even my office has always been a clean space, you know, since starting my business. When I moved into this house, it was like moving into an absolute, I don't want to say this, but it was a mess. It was a cluttered mess, and which started really, I was struggling because other than these four walls, this was my only space. And the rest of this house is just filled with things. And for example, my parents' kitchen, there's counter spaces just filled with gadgets and gadgets and things and boppets, and it's just barely any space to cook. And so when I walk into the kitchen, I have no desire to cook. I have no desire to bake. And I really love cooking and baking. And so that's really right. And that's really hard for me because I want to at least be able to do that. You know, and it's been hard. It's been real hard.
And so this is a situation that adult children face more and more. Either they're living with their parents or their parents have moved in with them. And everyone has the best of intentions when you first do this. You're there to help each other. But multiple adults are now sharing a kitchen and other common space. And the challenge is, who owns that space? Who owns that kitchen? How do you make everyone feel comfortable in that kitchen? Now, you contacted me a while back and you asked me for some advice. Can you tell us what you were looking for help with?
Yeah. So again, it's very hard. Like, we've been speaking as a family of my parents downgrading. from this big house to a possible smaller retirement village. They're clearly not ready to do that because they still haven't done it. And we've had this conversation so many times. And so my mom knows that she has to slowly but surely have to clean up, so, you know, one bit at a time of this house. But it has to be her to decide to do that. And so one of her kitchen cabinets is filled with wine bottle, which is strictly supposed to be the alcohol cupboard with all the wine bottles and, you know, the alcohol bottles. But it's also got all the dogs' gadgets and gadgets and food. And it's also got, like, at the bottom, things that have been there since, you know, almost 60 years ago that's collected dust. Wow. And I don't even, you know, I don't even know half the stuff that's in there. And then I took a picture and I gave it to you. And I was like, okay, so give me some ideas of how we can, you know, clean this cupboard up. You know, it's a perfect project, you know. Right. So you gave me some great pictures of how to declutter that cupboard. And I gave it to
my
mom.
Let me just say, so you texted me the photos. And at the time, I didn't know that you were sharing this kitchen with your parents. And so, okay, continue. I gave you a little bit of advice. Tell us what I told you.
Yeah, and you didn't realize it was actually my family home, my parents' home. Mm-hmm. And so I later had to tell you, you know, it still hasn't been cleaned up because my mom just hasn't done it. And I can't do it for her. I mean, I can only say I'll assist and I'll help you. If you want me to be there to assist and help you, I'm there. So this really has to be in her own time. And I feel sorry for her because I think it's really affecting her because she wants to, she knows she has to, but my mom tends to look at everything all at once instead of just let's look at this little snippet first. Mm-hmm. And then once that's sorted, let's look at the next one, like little bites at a time. She really struggles with that. And she just looks at everything. She has this like mild panic meltdown because she looks at everything. And then she doesn't want to do it.
Absolutely. Well, and after texting with you for a little bit in the beginning of that conversation, I realized that the vision that you were having is for that cabinet to be a wine zone or a drinks zone of sorts, and you didn't want it to have the random clutter in it anymore. So the advice to you was to declutter the things that were not wine related from that cabinet, put a small, pretty wine rack in there. It was a tiny change to make, right? In our minds, it was a tiny change to make, but one that would eliminate the random clutter and it would make it feel a little more elegant, bring some elegance. And then I remember you telling me later that this is a shared space and your mom was happy to think about doing it. But as you said, she did not move ahead with it. And you just told us, you know, the reason that she's feeling this way is because she gets overwhelmed by the entirety of her home and all the things that she has. And even looking at this one tiny space is overwhelming to her because it leads to more. It leads to more.
Exactly.
It's so common for that to happen, right? And it's also a reason why people ask me often, clients that I've worked with will ask me, well, can they buy a gift certificate to give to a family member or a loved one or a friend? Because they would love to have their space as organized as mine is. And my answer to them always is, well, have you asked them if they would like an organizer to come and help them? And if they did and they said yes, then I'm happy to offer that gift certificate to you. And if they said no, that they haven't spoken to them, then typically I would politely decline. And I do explain about the not being ready part, because if someone isn't ready, then trying to push them to do it is difficult. Now, of course, there are situations when you must push in a health crisis, or if being in that space is unhealthy or otherwise dangerous. But as exciting as it may be for someone to surprise someone by decluttering and organizing a space in their home for them, if they're not ready for it, then they will feel the worst kind of anxiety when they get home and they see it. And, you know, they'll say, where's my stuff? Why did you turn my desk this way? I wanted it facing that way. Mm-hmm. It's hard for us to accept changes when we're not consulted about them and when we don't have the time to be okay with them. So while maybe they would love their home to be organized, you saw it's not easy for them to get it done. And you did the exact right thing. You tried to start with a small, tiny space. But you see and you know that it's probably not going to happen until your mom is really and truly ready to go through her stuff and to let some of those things go. In the meantime, have you found a way to be not so stressed out about the kitchen or cooking in the kitchen?
There is occasions when I can push through the anxiety that I get, and I've made a couple of meals where I can. I think that's the biggest thing, is that feeling of anxiety when I walk into a cluttered area or a space that's not mine and it's cluttered and I don't feel welcome. Like the kitchen is not going, come inside me and cook, you know, and enjoy this beautiful space. It doesn't. And so, but then again, it's not just the kitchen. Oh, that's an example, but it's really the whole house. I mean, I can open a cupboard in this house and I get anxiety and I close it because I can't. If I'm looking for something and then I open it, I immediately close it and go, nope, not doing it. I'm not even going to try and find this object that I'm looking for. That's not even my object. It's someone else's object that we're trying to find for the house or whatever the case may be. I just can't. And so it has been a rather long journey. I'm moved into a space that's not my own. I've moved in a cluttered space. I've also moved into a 4x4 bedroom where I've got my office. I'm running a business, an incredible challenge and journey. And then, you know, I try and do a little bit of business, but then, you know, either my mom and dad will need something, which is perfectly fine. That's not the issue. You know, they'll come and they'll need something from me, and then I'll go and assist them. And it was really getting hard. So, and it still is hard. I feel like I'm managing it a little bit better now, having to run a business and help with two elderly parents in the same roof is extremely, you've got to be not only organized in your space, but also up here. And so I need to make changes to ensure that this is good. And so for me, that means I have to get more out the house more often. And I'm very grateful and I'm very blessed because I can, with my business, go anywhere and look after my clients' books from anywhere. And so I've made some movements towards that direction where I've decided, once again, I don't know how long I'm going to be needed here for in South Africa. Right. So I have made some movements. I've bought a Suzuki Jimny and I've done modifications on it, like, you know, suspension, all-terrain tires. I put a tent on the roof. There's more modifications coming, like an awning, fridge freezer installation, storage installation, so that I can create a little home on wheels. And then I want to take Rolo and myself and go into Africa. And I want to go all the way up into Africa and all the way back down and come back here, because this is obviously where I need. Yeah. So
you need to be
in the beginning. I know it'll be shorter distances and I'll come back. But I will come back here because I know I'm needed here. So I just need to be in a better space up here so that I can be a better person for them as well.
Incredible. And that's great news. I can see and I can hear how excited you are for this change. Congratulations. And you're absolutely right. You know, stepping away sometimes is the way to bring peace between everyone living under the same roof. So it's wonderful. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That you're able to do this. Wow. Yeah. Well, thank you. And I know, you know, we're not talking about solutions here. We're not talking about, step one, step two, step three to get things done. Mm-hmm. Everyone is on their own journey. Everyone has gone through different things and is going through different things that are challenging. in the way that they live, in the space that they live, and in the space that they work. And you are an inspiration to all of us to see how you're maneuvering through this challenge and working through it. So thank you so much for sharing your organizing story with us, Shireen.
No, well, you're an inspiration though, Z, because when you talk about ways of keeping yourself organized and good habits to have, one of the things that I've always done, and you reminded me to keep on doing it, it's the whole schedule and marking everything out the week before. So you called it something though, where you spend some time on the Sunday and you just do your whole
Friday
schedule
planning.
Yes.
The Friday weekly planning. I do it on Friday afternoon every Friday.
That is so important because it also helps me. I come back to my schedule every time. I just come back and go, okay, center myself here. What is the things that I need to get done today? And if I do that and I put my schedule down in front of me, it kind of just, you know, puts me back to place kind of thing where I'm like, okay, I can't control that. There's nothing I can do with what's happening outside my door. But the next thing on my schedule is I've got to do this client, you know, I've got to work on this set of books, you know, for an hour. So then I move on to that.
Oh, wonderful. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that that's proven to be helpful. And I think we should all do it again. Thank you. Wow. Hey, and go ahead and shout out your business name and tell us about your podcast. So everyone needs you to know that Shireen is an avid traveler, backpacker, adventurer. You should hear her adventures in the mountains of South Africa. Incredible. And so, you know, this new adventure in the Jimny, I would love to see photos once you get it back. And you can show us all what it's like to live in such a tiny space, but freedom in such a tiny space. Wonderful, wonderful. So please tell us about your business and about your podcast as well. You're a longtime podcaster.
I am owner and founder of Shireen's Bookkeeping Services, LLC. It's actually formed in California, where, you know, most of my clientele is. And then I've now moved to Florida, so working on that, getting all my Florida clientele as well, growing it. It is a virtual boutique bookkeeping business. I also have a podcast, which Zinat has already been on. So if you want to go and listen to Zinat's awesome tips and tricks on organizing, you can go to Friends from Wild Places. That is the name of the podcast. You can find us on all the platforms as well as YouTube. So if you prefer the video version, you can go on YouTube or you can just search for us on the streaming platforms. So that's Friends from Wild Places.
Thank you. So everyone, I'm going to please connect with Shireen about your bookkeeping needs, her information. I'm going to post in the show notes and also the link to the podcast. You can all find it on YouTube. And yeah, go and listen to Friends from Wild Places today.
I'll close out this very first episode of Order Meets Style by asking you to think about the clear framework for organizing your home sustainably. I think you'll see that when you've clarified your vision, you've limited your spaces, edited your belongings, assigned homes to everything that you own, and have a plan in place to review your organizing for just 10 minutes a day, the thought of getting your home organized is going to start to feel a little less scary or nerve-wracking, even if you're super busy. So please like, subscribe, and review the podcast on whatever platform you're listening from, and I'll meet you here again next week. Hold up, working mom. You're probably wasting time and energy when it comes to organizing your home, and I'm going to show you where you're going off track and how to fix it. Get signed up for a free 15-minute home clutter audit by going to fireflybridge.com/schedule. That's fireflybridge.com/schedule.